Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a valley that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It's a wonderful Wednesday evening here in Lexington, Kentucky, where I am broadcasting tonight. And I will be joined in a few minutes by the lovely, the vivacious, the wonderful Holly Phillippe. In the meantime, you're stuck with me, folks. So buckle in, get ready. It's going to be a great show. Episode number 366 for those of you keeping count. Chat room is open. If you have any trouble logging in, just refresh the page and you should have no trouble eventually getting in. Sometimes it gets a little quirky, but we always take questions, comments, and from people there. And of course, we always love the banter. Looks like we already have some great folks in there. The wonderful award-winning author Sandy Lender is in there. Looks like Metal Beck Harrison, who I believe was the first into the room tonight. And also award-winning author and filmmaker Amy Lee McCorkle. So yeah, we already got some great creatives in the chat room tonight, and get ready for a great guest. But first, I have quite a bit of news to cover with all of you. It has been a busy week. And of course, as the Star Chamber Show is affiliated with the Imaginarium Convention, we always like to keep you up to date on news and developments with Imaginarium and other things that are in our sphere. So first of all, I will definitely pass over to you a couple of things, and then we have something big that got announced today. So first, I'd like to give you the names of some of the new guests that have come aboard since last week's episode. We've welcomed aboard spotlighted guest James A. Hunter. Yes, a best-selling author who also is the driving force behind Shadow Alley Press. And he is absolutely fantastic. He's going to be a great addition to the programming. And he is a big name in the game lit and lit RPG kind of world. And definitely just great, great stuff with Shadow Alley Press. So he is one you definitely want to meet when you come to the convention. And then also joining us this year is spotlighted guest M.B. Dabney, who is returning. And he is an award-winning author, editor, and journalist. And he is the writer of the David Blaze Mysteries. And he's also co-edited a couple of anthologies and has numerous short story mystery stories. And also he's the manager of the newsroom at the Indianapolis Recorder. But he's had a heck of a journalism career. He was spent decades as a reporter working at Business Week magazine, United Press International, Associated Press, Indianapolis Star, and the Philadelphia Tribune. So he's got one heck of a journalism background. So you definitely want to get a chance to meet him. Take advantage of that. And then we announced three more panelists also this past week. Shannon McRoberts, Thomas Moore, and Brian John Skillen. And Shannon is a first-time panelist with us, so is Brian. And then, of course, those of you that have attended in the past, y'all, I'm sure, love the award-winning filmmaker Thomas Moore, who is part of that big announcement that I mentioned just a bit earlier. Before I get to that, though, I will also let you know that we have added, and there's a bunch more of this coming. We have a lot of new workshops and panels to post, but we announced three. And one was a panel, one was a workshop, and one was the keynote speech for the event itself. And so as far as the new panel added, it was Keys to Suspension of Disbelief. Yes, and that covers insights and advice on how to achieve suspension of disbelief in a reader. That's going to be a great panel discussion. We also had a new workshop added, Reconstructing the Lives History Forgot, and the presenter for that is Rachel Louise Martin. And then our keynote speaker was announced. Spotlighted guest Tanita Johnson, award-winning author, editor, poet, publisher, journalist, and a playwright. And the title of her keynote speech is going to be Creating in the Midst of Chaos. And it will bring our attendees inspiration and motivation to energize creativity in times of chaos. And chaos, of course, as we all know, can take many forms in the lives of creatives. So Tanita is going to get us all fired up in the keynote speech, and it will definitely help launch a great 10th anniversary weekend. So now I will get to the big announcement today, and that was we announced our full first wave of official selections for the Imaginarium Independent Film Festival. And this is not the final list. There will be other official selections announced throughout this month. There are also a portion of slots that are held open until after the May 31st late entry deadline. So there's still time to get the project in. We keep that open because there's lots of productions going on through the year, and we definitely want to try to evaluate as many projects as we can to make the best festival possible. So there is a window for that still open to submit a film project, so we have to keep a few spots open. But today we did announce the first wave, and let me tell you, it's a good one. So I'm going to read down the list, and then we will get to acknowledging the wonderful folks that brought you tonight's show, and then we'll bring you our guest. But as far as the first wave of official selections for Imaginarium 2023, under the feature films, we have The Devil's Instrument by director Adam Sargent. Then we have The Group, and that is from director Venu Yeldandi. Then The Hardest Part is Remembering from director Julian D. Edgar. And again, these are all feature films. Another feature film, Locked In, by director Chase Dudley. Then They See You, from director Tori Jones. Then Unpacking, from directors Alexander Clayton and Michael Sinnott. And then The Year of the Dog, from directors Robert Grabo, Michael Peterson, and Andrew McGinn. So that's a batch of great feature films. And let me tell you, these are good quality, very good quality projects. Then under short films, we have Death World 2120 from director Andrew H. Miller, The Doll Catcher from Jamie Hastings, Harvey and Linda, A Knife's Tale from director Derek Spruill, Little T from director Masha Ellsworth. I apologize. My eyes got a little crossed there. Masha Ellsworth is the director of Little T. Mirror from director Megan Daly. The Old Guys from director Thomas Moore. Yes, that panelist that I just announced, the same Thomas Moore. Roscoe from director Parker Ridings. Submerged Blue Star from director Demetrius Witherspoon, who you've heard here on the Star Chamber show a few times before. Then we have documentary, we have The Story Behind the Story of Lee Pennington, from director Laura G. Womack. And yes, that is the Kentucky Poet Laureate, Lee Pennington, the same one spotlighted guest at the convention. This is a feature-length documentary about the story behind him. So that should be a really, really cool one. And then under web series, we have Traveler. And this is from directors Amy Lee McCorkle and Melissa Goodman. Yes, and Amy is actually in the chat room tonight, so I can tell you directly, Amy, congratulations. And you have an official selection. Music videos, we have Acrimonious from director Carl P. Rust, Purified by Suffering, and this is from director Herschel H. Zond. And then we have Tonight from director Derek Spruill, and then The Winter's Rain from director John Mattingly. So that concludes the first full wave of selections for our film festival. There is a page on the site charting all official selections. It has poster images from all the films. It has full synopsis, runtimes, lists the directors. So go check that out on the Imaginarium site if you do get a chance. And we will definitely be updating that quite a bit. So keep a close eye on that. There's a lot more projects to add, and then we will also into early June be adding a few more with the late deadline period. So it looks like Holly is now aboard. So after I got through that, I saw Holly's aboard. Holly, there you are.
Holly's been here. I've been trying to talk. I told him in chat. I said he's got me muted. I was trying
to. Well, no, I knew you were calling in, but I had to give the list. It's a big list.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people. Filmmakers, they like to be recognized. Our guest can vouch for that. They do like to be recognized. So we have to do that every now and then. But that was a big list of updates with all those guests and panels and keynote speeches and new film projects. So, yeah, that was a lot of news. So, quite a bit. So, yeah, there you got it. But I'm going to do want to bring our guest on as soon as possible, so I'm going to go ahead and dive into the folks that brought you tonight's show. And tonight we have a great tandem, and we're longtime supporters of the show, Per Bostet Publications and the amazing Sandy Lender. So yes, I want to thank them both very much, and we'll be going over first to give you a spot from Sandy. And I should mention that Sandy was the editor of the first Marathonarium anthology, and the cover art is just about done. We had to make one little adjustment to it, but that should be done, and so that is going to be unveiled very quickly. And then, of course, we're going to have a release date put out with that, and yes, so that should be out. Had a little bit of a delay with the cover, but I'm telling you, it looks fantastic. And Sandy is in the chat room tonight, so she can vouch for that. The cover art list looks spectacular, so I'm real happy with it. We just had to make one small adjustment, nothing big, and then actually I should have the final back by tomorrow. So that being said, here's a little bit about Sandy.
Author Sandy Lender invites you to visit her website at authorsandylender.com to pick out a new favorite story to read this spring. You're sure to find a strong young lady, a clever vampire, a self-assured fairy, or a fabulous dragon to join on a new journey. Start your next adventure at authorsandylender.com and make some new quest friends. Welcome to Sandy's various fantasy worlds, where some days you just want the dragon to win.
Thank you very much, Sandy, and definitely, folks, check her stuff out. I mean, top notch. I mean, this is truly a wordsmith of the highest order. So, yeah, check her stuff out. Pick some of her books up, and now I will move over to the wonderful folks, Per Bostet Publications. Thank you, T. Lee Harris, Sarah Marion, and Marion Allen. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye, David Blaze, and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at PerBostetPublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at In Conjunction in Indianapolis and Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July and Prime Crime in Indianapolis in October. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Thank you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that, everyone. And check another one that I can absolutely vouch for and highly recommend as far as the titles that fine press puts out. So now, yes, the moment you've all been waiting for, the guest of tonight. And this is one, yeah. Once I bring the mic on. I bear no responsibility for what may come after, but this is going to be fun. But our tonight's guest is an independent producer, actor, show host, network owner, also a tactical advisor, armor, and supplier. And he has a steady list of over 50 productions that he's helped produce and or distribute. He's also the host and MC of many shows that includes Ville Live TV and the co-host of The Fender's Den. And also has done shows for many local radio stations. And now he is moving forward with a brand new show, and here's your teaser, folks, called Cooking Kentucky. And so, yes, spotlighted guest at Imaginarium Convention, the one, the only, the unpredictable and awesome Sean Burton Saunders. Sean, your mic is on. You are unleashed.
Hello, you bunch of sexy dumb bitches.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
It's
there you are.
Too long.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord,
sorry,
it's been too long. I said that you are also my spirit animal in the chat.
Oh, I'm a tiger, baby. I'm definitely a tiger. Girl, baby. Very
that's
good.
Right. That's right.
If you remember the Wonder Twins cartoon back in the day, you know how the Wonder Twins activate and they'd punch and one would be form of this, one would be form of that, and they do superhero stuff as a great cartoon characters back in the I forget which cartoon they were a part of. God, my memory's shot here, but that's Sean and Holly. I mean, you get them together, it's like the Wonder Twins.
Evidently, I'm in the form of a big dickhead, according to some people. But hey, that's all right.
Oh no, we have a lot of fun.
Here I am. We do. I rather enjoy it. Hopefully, there's a bunch of people listening tonight because I got some stuff to tell you. I got to tell you, there's a bunch of shit going on in this.
Yes,
great world.
I
want to
hear
I'm
all
great.
This new stuff. So here you go, purge.
Well, I would like to give a quick shout out to the very beautiful and very talented Miss Jennifer Noren, your guest. Was it last week or the week before? Yeah. I don't remember. I drink a lot.
It was last week. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
It was last week.
As you guys know, she is a wonderful, wonderful graphic artist, and she did the new logo for Cooking Kentucky, which is out on my Instagram. It's out on Facebook, which who really gives a shit about Facebook, and now it's out on TikTok, which, boy, am I getting in trouble in TikTok. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, they do not like me on TikTok.
Oh, but it's fun to watch. It is fun to watch.
I'm a hell of a dancer. I don't know if you've seen my dance videos, man, but I got some moves. This old fart can move.
Oh, I have. I like them all. Yeah. I even comment on a few.
Mm. I've seen the comments, which I'm actually frightening. Or frightened of. I don't even know. I've had a few drinks tonight, but hey, we are rocking. Anyway, I would like to give her a shout out. Jennifer Noren, she's got her convention coming up in June there. You guys go check her out because she is wicked awesome and she's beautiful and she's always fabulous. I swear to God, this chick can be fabulous at a shit convention.
That's true. That's true. We love her very much. And she only lives like two or three streets over from us. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
A neighbor almost.
Why in the hell aren't you
all? Yeah. Yeah, we're not
supposed to be hanging out more, don't you think?
Well,
I agree.
We went out and had sushi here. We went out and had sushi, what, about 2 or 3 weeks ago?
We did. Yeah, we actually did something, yes.
I don't want to do this. It was funny. She actually came to town one night, and we went and saw, I got some tickets to see Brad Williams, a fantastic comedian. And so we went down there, got hammered drunk. It was fun. We took our shirts off. We clapped each other. No, I'm kidding, Jennifer. I'm sorry. I'm joking. We didn't do that. But we did go to the comedy show. It was a really good time. So, yeah, but, new show's coming out. Cooking Kentucky. Everybody's probably wondering what the hell is Sean doing now? Cooking. Well, I'm a fat guy, and you always trust, like, you don't ever go to a restaurant, and, like, the chef walks out, and he's, like, skinny. You're like, I'm not going to eat here. Hell with this.
Yeah.
You want to see
never
a fat
trust
guy
the skinny
cooking, right?
Cook. That's right.
Exactly. So I figured one of the great things about Kentucky is our cuisine. You know, we have a lot of farm fresh stuff. We have a lot of farmers markets, meat markets, farm raised cows and chickens and eggs. And this is what I want to feature. I want to show everybody how great Kentucky is as far as being able to be like self-sustaining. So I go out, I pull a little kitchen out of the back of my car, which I'm still looking for that RV sponsorship. So if there's anybody listening, by all means, I have quite a little thing to show you. It's basically just about kind of cooking just local cuisine and stuff like that. I'm going to try and do a hot brown out of the back of my car. I don't know if that's going to work because it's more complicated than I thought. But we'll figure that out.
I've made them. I've made one.
I've never made it before, but I'm going to. I just did a little thing tonight. I cooked some pho here at the house, and that's going to be my next little cooking adventure. I did go camping last weekend with some good friends of mine, two very beautiful friends. One is Victoria Mayotte of Visual Vixens Photography. Go check her out on Facebook. It's badass. And then, of course, my lovely Sheila Curtis, who is my hairstylist. She's my other stylist, but she's the rock and roll hippie and rock and roll hippie hair salon right there on Barstown Road, guys. Go check her out as well. Get your hair did, and you can go down there and get some awesome rock and roll clothes. I'm still trying to squeeze in that leather skirt that she gave me, but you know what? I'm going to make it work one way or another, by God.
Work it.
That's how I do. So, but yeah, so Cooking Kentucky is basically I get in my car. I take Stella the Wonder Pup with me. We go and check out some awesome places around Kentucky area, and then we cook some shit. And that's just, it's pretty simple. And I do ridiculous things, and I get caught in things, and still looking for
my
future.
My question is, when are you going to have a guest on to cook with? A Holly. When you're going to have a guest on to cook with you?
Well, when does Holly want to? Because my schedule is, well, you have to book me. I'm quite bougie and I'm quite in demand. I don't know if you know that or not.
Well, I'm aware.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all I'm really concentrating on right now is trying to get this show up and running. I'm doing all the filming, all the editing myself, so it sucks. But that's okay. I mean, you know, sometimes when you think you got people got your back, they pretty much take off running, and that's cool.
Yep.
But we're not going to go down that way tonight.
Yeah. Oh, we understand. Been there. Yeah.
Been there.
We got it. But
it is what it is.
But yeah, we won't go there. we'll keep the flow
Are you traveling around and like trying different dishes, and then you go home and try to recreate them, or do you just do both? Like you go around do like food critic reviews, and then you're also going to cook.
It's kind of a little mixture of both. This is kind of a show that's derived from something a buddy of mine started a while back called I Drink and I Cook Things. And the idea was to go out and to a local restaurant, eat a lot of food, get really drunk, and then come back here and try to cook what we just ate. A few episodes of that, you know, never really manifested, but it gave me the idea to do that. So my point is to go to different restaurants, especially like some of these backwoods restaurants. Episode 3 of Cooking in Kentucky or Cooking Kentucky on my YouTube channel, Sean Burton Saunders. It's easy to find. I'm kind of like herpes. I'm everywhere. So I went to this one restaurant and it was a little breakfast joint, and it's the first time I ever ate geta. Have you ever had geta?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geta's good stuff. And Southern Indiana, like a Cincinnati thing. Yeah, we eat it all the time in Southern Indiana. We fry it. And it looks crispy, and it's delicious.
I never had it before. So I go to this wonderful restaurant. It's actually mentioned in the episode. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I want you to go watch the episode. And I mentioned this place in Owington, Kentucky. I went in, and the special was eggs, any style, geta, hash browns, and biscuits or toast. You know, just your basic stuff, right? Well, I'm thinking, hey, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. I thought it was sausage. I had no idea what geta was. I sit down, I take a big bite of it. I'm like, that's not sausage, but that is freaking fantastic. So there's a whole spiel about me talking to some of the customers and the owner of the restaurant. I'm like, what is geta? And they tell me what it is, and I go out and I find it later on that day, and I bring it home, and I cook the crap out of it, let me tell you.
Yep, I love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah, I made it first thing before.
So that's kind of where I'm going with that. I do want to go into the local restaurants and film a little bit. You know, some people are kind of weary about, you know, people filming in their joint or whatever. But it's mainly about just trying to figure out, like, one pan cooking. What can you make in this one pan? And I've made several dishes so far. And I'm just going to keep going. So.
Yay.
So waiting on Shakira to answer me.
You're waiting on what?
Shakira. I think Shakira Saunders has a nice ring to it. Yeah. Don't you guys agree? I think she would dig me. A fat guy that's going to cook for her, I think she's going to like that. Just saying.
I
mean, I cook, I clean. You come to my house. My house is really clean. Stuff like that. I'm just saying, ladies, look, I am single and looking. Okay? I've been single so long, I am a born again virgin, ladies. So there you go. You should love this.
And he loves hair.
Oh my
hair.
God.
Hair.
Oh, hair is a big thing with me. You know, guys are into weird shit, but like me, like hair, I just want to brush your hair. I'll wash it,
yeah,
too. Come on, girls. You got to love that. What girl doesn't want a hair wash?
No, that's kidding. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I said you can come wash my hair anytime and brush it out. That way I'll have fun with it. That's
there
right.
You go.
So win-win.
I'll straighten that shit. I'll put some big wavy curls in it. I can do it.
That.
You think?
I was going to say good luck with the straightening now because all these curls.
Oh, trust me. Just stand out of my way. I'll get it.
Challenge accepted.
All right. Well, I guess we know what we're doing at Imaginarium, don't we? So.
That's right. That's right. You're going to see me with straight hair for the first time ever, people.
First time ever.
That's
so
right.
I should have a. You know, I'm going to have a little table there, I believe, and we're going to kind of focus a little bit. Maybe I'll do some. Show you some of the gear that I'm using and crap like that. But I'm also going to be straightening and washing hair at my booth. So come by and say hi at Imaginarium to me.
That will be a first at Imaginarium. We've not had hair washing at Imaginarium.
There
yet.
We go.
At least not pop,
hey,
not,
listen,
not on
listen.
The expo floor. Yeah.
Everyone's welcome. Absolutely. Anyone's welcome. No guys.
I'm looking at I love your thumbnails. Yeah, I love your thumbnails on the your screen caps on your channel. And deer bacon. Now that's interesting. I see that in one of your episode descriptions here.
That one
is
cool. Awesome. I did avocado toast right on the grill. Put the eggs on the grill. It was the day after Thunder, which I may have had a meet at Palooza the day before. And my very beautiful friend, Jamie, she brought me deer bacon for my birthday because my birthday was a few weeks prior to that. And she was like, I got you a present. And she brought it over to me. I was like, hey, girl, love you. So I've been enjoying deer bacon. If you haven't had it, you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so check out that episode. It's really awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to check them all out. Yeah, I didn't realize they were up actually on YouTube yet. So
I'm waiting for them like an idiot. I didn't know they were up on YouTube already.
Yeah, I thought you were coming out with those a little later, but that's awesome. Yeah, you can check them out right now. That's cool.
But yeah, right now I'm developing season one, and then what's going to happen is that's going over to my distributor, Edwin Brochin, who is a fantastic filmmaker as well. I'll tell a little story about that. But anyway, he's got a new network out. It's Renegade Network. You can find it on – there's an app for it. So it's pretty much like a push and play. You can go and find out what it is you want. And one of our really good filmmakers, J.C. Resitas, has already sent him a couple of films over there. So it's kind of like another app, like another Amazon and Hulu. You can just get on there and click through whatever movies you want to watch, whatever episodes you want to watch. So I'm putting this together, and this will go to Edwin, Eddie, at Shami Media Group, and I'll put these into distribution, and they'll go on his Renegade Network almost immediately. So I'm putting together season one. Now, season one to me is it's a pilot season because I'm trying to figure out how the hell to film and edit and do all this shit in the in one setting because I used to have guys for that.
Right.
I don't have those guys anymore. So it's like I'm trying to do it all myself. But quite frankly, I mean, it's not that I don't have the guys. It's just that I sporadically do this. I actually plan on getting in my car tomorrow, going to some park and cooking something tomorrow, probably pho. But that's how I'm working with that. But anyway, so yeah, that's going to be out into distribution as well. Sponsorships and everything. I'm still waiting for Country Boy Brewing to get back to me about the Cougar Bait sponsorship because I drink their beer every single episode. And you'll notice that. It's delicious. I'm drinking
it. Like
Holly likes
blonde
that.
Blonde. Yeah, I do drink Cougar Bait. Yeah.
Oh, it is my favorite beer of all time. I hope Country Boy's listening. So because I love you guys. I love this beer. I dream about this beer when I don't have it.
mean, you need to get them to sponsor, and you could go to, you know, all kinds of places.
That's what I'm saying. Even if an episode where I didn't drink their beer while I'm editing, I'll stop. And you'll see in one episode where I stop and say, just want to
hire people.
What's that?
And get you an RV. You could get your RV, hire people. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe Shakira would finally, like, you know, go on a date with me.
Possibly.
Nice.
I have big dreams. I can't help it.
But so have you posted some clips on your TikTok channel and some areas like that?
Yeah.
Are you going to do?
Yeah, I've been all over TikTok, and I go live on TikTok. I do cooking at my house here live on TikTok. Some of the episodes that I have on YouTube are from my live TikTok, which one, the very first episode I did, which was, I think it was called Creating Hot Mess Express. It was from the live, and I did a bacon cheeseburger, and oh my God, guys, there's just something about cooking. And I think that's what I want people to realize more than anything, is that there's literally something about cooking outside that just makes everything taste better. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you're actually, like, you know, maybe enveloped with when you're cooking inside with all the smells and everything. But outside it's kind of crisp and sterile almost. So I don't know what it is, guys, but there's just something about cooking outside that makes it better.
Nature. You're one with
exactly.
Nature. Yeah. You're getting a mojo from the nature.
That's right, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I love mojo. Oh yeah.
That's right.
But, we'll see. I did do an episode without any pants, but that never made it to YouTube. They kept taking it down.
Well, damn.
Yeah, right. like they'll let these chicks do whatever they want to do on a freaking TikTok, but
what?
I want to do, like, some cooking with no pants, and all of a sudden it's freaking censored, right? Yeah, yeah.
That's sexy. So sexy.
So how many episodes are going to constitute a full season? Roughly,
I don't know at this point, since most of them are under 20 minutes. I'm probably looking at anywhere between 8 to 12. It just depends on how they run. I might put a couple of them together.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to package it yet. That's what she said, but I'll figure that out at the end, which is again something else that she said. So,
yeah,
but she doesn't like me, so it doesn't matter.
Because the food stuff. I mean, I've become more aware of it being with Holly, but the food stuff is pretty red hot right now. I mean, there's so much, you know, such a fan base and such interest in it. I mean, you're definitely coming out the right show at the right time. It should definitely have some legs, and nobody's focused on Kentucky. So, I mean, I love, like, what is it, Somebody Feed Phil, the one Holly had me watch.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool show. Yeah, but he goes all
that's
like he goes all around the world.
You would love that. That's a good one. Phil's a trip.
Yeah,
check it out.
Yeah, he goes all around the world. But yeah, this is awesome because I'm partial to Kentucky as well, and this is going to be awesome because there's some great stuff talked around the state all over. And
well, I think
a lot of people
don't realize are the amount of mom and pop owned restaurants that are just in Kentucky in general. One of the great things that I've noticed about Kentucky is that a lot of these small towns, they're really rebuilding and revamping their little downtown areas. So there might only be like one street in the downtown, but every single building looks beautiful, and you can usually run into a couple mom-and-pop restaurants. Some of them are great. Some of them are terrible. And, that's what I want people to realize. It's like, you know, Kentucky, we think about Derby, we think about bourbon, but Louisville, Kentucky is actually like number 4 in the country for best restaurants and diverse restaurants.
It's
so.
Like that here in Lexington. Lexington is a foodie paradise. I mean, there is just so many different mom and pops plus, you know, chains too. But yeah, there's a ton of these tucked away little mom and pop places that are just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We went to one with Anna Sabagio the other day. What was that place called, Steve? Good God, that's awful. I can't remember the name. Anyway,
it was
all the same.
How about Doodles?
Doodles. It's amazing. Yeah, nice. It's all sustainable, farm, you know, farm to table,
locally
local
sourced,
fair.
Everything. Everything
yes.
is locally sourced.
Yes. And I had, God, I had shrimp and grits, and they were amazing. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I love tree
yeah.
grits.
They jelly.
They only serve breakfast and brunch. So, yeah, it's not a dinner place. But, yeah, if you're looking to
okay.
feature a great, unique, local-type breakfast meal, yeah, that's a place you should definitely visit. It's they're awesome. Super cool.
Well,
people,
don't threaten me with
but,
a good time. Challenge accepted. I'll jump all over
yeah.
that. 'Cause I am a major foodie. If you ever see me, like, at an O'Charley's or Applebee's, unless they want to sponsor me, then I'll love them. But, anyway, if you ever see me at a place like that, pack your shit, because that's the seventh sign. Because I do not go to chain restaurants. Okay? No.
Yeah.
This fat guy, I like good food. I have there's so many, like where I live here in the Highlands, in Louisville here, is like within 4 or 5 blocks of my house, within walking distance, there's like 10 great restaurants. So I can walk there and stagger home all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it.
Very good.
And that's
yeah.
my thing, is I want to feature, because I like... You can always tell a chef that is passionate about their food. And that's you can taste it. You can just like, it sounds cliche, but you can taste the love. Guy, or
yeah.
this chef or this girl, whatever, they are spending so much time developing flavors. And when it just punches you right in the taste buds, when you take a bite, you know, this is the place that you want to be. So like, why not
right.
feature that? Why not enjoy that rather than going to your stupid O'Charley's and your Applebee's, all that bullshit. We don't need that bullshit, okay? Go
right,
to some of
right.
these local restaurants. That's
yeah,
where the
things
food's
are actually
good.
Cooked fresh. Yes,
exactly.
The good stuff. You know, it isn't shipped in, mass-produced, frozen, thawed out, and then served to you, you know? No, they're actually
exactly.
cooking from scratch, and they're homemade recipes, and that's been tried and tested. Yeah, I mean... It's just better. It is.
Holly
gets
it. Why doesn't everybody else get it? I don't understand this. I don't know why this is such a big deal. And that's like on my application, like as far as like, you know, trying. It really sucks dating when you're over 40 years old now, okay? Because let me tell you something right now. If you're a chickie and if you ain't a freaking foodie, we ain't going to last. Chicken tenders and French fries is not a good meal, all right?
No.
That is something that if you eat like a 12-year-old, we are not going to work. You have to like beer, you have to like bourbon, you have to like wine, and you better like some damn good food. I mean, don't give me this shit where it's just like, oh, it's elk. I don't know if I want to eat elk. Then get the hell out of this restaurant, okay? If this is
elk,
elk
is great. I happen
gosh.
To love elk. Yeah.
Elk is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Quick shout out to the restaurant at the corner here. They had elk on the special one night. And I got it, and
ooh.
I was just, like, blown away. Because, again, a chef taking their time and making the food taste wonderful, that's what I enjoy. My eyes are closed as I'm talking about this right now because I'm going to start crying.
Well, Kentucky has, you know, of course, we have elk, and I bet during elk hunting season, I bet you some of those restaurants down eastern Kentucky, I bet you can land a few places there that serve those
dishes. Oh, yeah, because
no question.
They're overrunning down there. They're like really producing.
Yep.
So I know the hunting down there for elk is.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They forgot they have no natural predator when they brought them in, I think. So yeah, there's tons of them. They're proliferating.
What are you talking about? They don't have no natural predator. We got a bunch of hillbillies around here with guns that
well,
love
that,
to shoot
yes. shit. But yeah, we don't have like wolf packs or anything down there. But yeah, we got
So I think that's the biggest thing is that this is what I want people to understand again about Kentucky. I keep going back to this. I came back when I got out of the military in 2002. My first wife and I moved down here. And I've been here ever since, and I love the state. I love Louisville. I just love, because there's so many wonderful, like, parks and lakes and Carter Caves and, you know, Mammoth Caves and all that stuff. There's just so much to do, but why not, like, try to encompass local cuisine as well? So that's my overall mission with Cooking Kentucky. So
Oh yeah, because you've got the high end city type place cuisines, the chef, you know, you've got the country cooking, the mountain cooking. You've got, I mean, you got all kinds of places and styles. And
you got the southern mixed with the northern, especially like you got the Cincinnati influences too, in Louisville, and you know, it even comes down this far too. So yeah, you've got you know, all these different cultures. We've got so many different cultures. Restaurants. I know we've got a ton here that are mom and pop, like Turkish places and Indian restaurants.
Korean, Indian, all kinds
Korean
of stuff
and,
here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all kinds of different mom and pop, you know, different exotic cultures. And the flavors are just, you know, unreal.
And that's the biggest thing. And that's what I love to find more than anything. And the more I can find, the better. I love all types of food. From all types of cultures, because and that's the other thing that people don't realize is that food is basically a gateway into culture. When you consuming food from a certain culture, there's a lot of flavors that pop. There's a lot of conversations that happen with that. Some of my, you know, one of the Indian restaurants down here, I'll give a quick shout out to them at Kashmir, which is a couple blocks from our house. The food in there is the flavors are so incredible, and it's like something that I can go in and I can speak with the owner about, and I can kind of encompass myself into their culture. You know, I mean, does that make sense? You guys know what I'm saying here?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Food is our common thread as humans.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I
was in Germany for 3 years. In Germany. I mean, hell, the food there, I was just like, oh, my. That is when my palate started to really develop for different flavors and seasonings. And I was just like, I cannot believe that I've sheltered myself for so long. I was only in my 20s, but that's probably why I'm the size I am now. That's probably why I'll eat anything.
Yeah, we have a good German restaurant here called Marika's, where they also have indoor volleyball courts and stuff. It's awesome, but they are fantastic when it comes to German food. But yeah,
volleyball,
it's interesting.
And you're
right, because I mean, even one of our favorite things, I mean, it's definitely because of local geography and like bourbon, because of the limestone that we have in Kentucky and the limestone filtered water is a huge part of the bourbon development here. And there's roots in food and beverage that go into, you know, a local area, and that is a big part of it.
Goes back to the shine running days, and this is an argument I have. So I travel for my day job, but I always go to different areas, and it's always funny to go to, like, I'll just tell this quick story. I was in Michigan a couple of years ago working at a hospital up there, and one of the doctors, we had opened a distillery, and they said, "We make bourbon." I said, "That's cute." "No, you don't." He says, "No, we make bourbon." I went, you can keep saying it, but it doesn't mean you're right. He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you can't make bourbon because you're not in Kentucky. You can make whiskey, and there's no reason why it can't be delicious."
Sure.
And so there was an argument. And so he says, "Well, why don't you come out to the distillery tonight?" I said, "Okay, challenge accepted." So I got off work, went down to the distillery, and I walked in there, and there's that doctor standing there with a glass of whiskey. See what I did there, whiskey? And I walked over, and he hands it. He hands it to me, and it's neat. So I take a sip of it. I smell it first. I'm like, "Oh, that smells awesome." I take a sip, and I'm, "Oh, my gosh, that is so delicious." He says, "See, I told you we do bourbon." I said, "I never said anything about it being delicious bourbon. It's delicious whiskey."
Yes. I feel that way, too.
And that's just how it is. And that's what makes it. All bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon. And that is incorrect. That's just science.
That is a fact. Science. Yeah. But yeah, it should be tied to Kentucky 100%. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
But he ended up agreeing with me that night. Now, they had a bourbon recipe. Don't get me wrong. It was the corn and the mash and certain way they did it. And I was like, "I understand that." I said, "But if you don't have that limestone water, then you can't call it bourbon." And then somebody said, "Well, what if they truck in Kentucky water and make it in Michigan. I'm like, oh, that's cute. Even they know they can't make bourbon in Michigan. So that tells you something. If they're going to truck it in, they're going to be like, okay, right. Now it's Kentucky bourbon because you use Kentucky water.
Right. Good point. Yeah, you caught them. Oh, nice, nice. That's, I love it.
That's
true.
That's been an argument. Well, what
and
if we
way to get a free drink.
Water?
An excellent tactic in getting a free drink.
That's good bourbon right there. There you go.
But I do. Guys, I love good bourbon. I love good whiskey. The same thing happened. I was in Missouri, and I was in a place called Weston, Missouri. If you guys ever get an opportunity, I highly recommend it. It's one of the cutest little towns I've ever seen. You'll see in some of my in my beginning reels to my the intro credits, you'll see some pictures of me in Weston. They have some old-style gas pumps there. Well, Weston was the birthplace of the first lager that was ever made, and they have an Irish pub there where they still have the old cave that they built because you have to make lager at a certain certain temperature in order for it to be, you know, to be made properly. So that's what they were making. Anyway, long story short, Doc Holliday's brother started a whiskey distillery there, and they're bringing back the Holliday whiskey that they are lovingly referring to as bourbon. And again, something I was able to try. There are pictures on my Instagram and stuff of me trying this delicious whiskey, but again, not bourbon. I run into a lot of distillers in my – there's a lot of people in the medical field that all of a sudden think they're distillers. I'm like, y'all need to just keep saving lives. Quit distilling.
Mm-hmm.
No. Stop it. So that was another great adventure that I went on, another great food adventure. I didn't film it at all, but I'm going to go back. Because I got to tell you, it's not just about Kentucky, guys. This is about regional as well. Food just makes you feel good. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. If you love good food, we all love it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Holly, you talked about, like, you know, catering on a set. And, yeah, it's a pain in the ass, but there is something about home-cooked food on a set. It just makes everybody feel better about what you're doing.
It's a whole lot better than eating, you know, greasy, you know, burgers from McDonald's or Subway
pizza
every single day, twice a day, forever, pizza. Yeah, you know, the same. There's something about a home-cooked meal, especially when it's cool out and, you know, you've had long days, and, yeah, I mean, there's just something about it, you know.
And I'm still
always
working on that food truck.
I'm waiting. That's what I was going to tell you. I'm calling you out now. I'm still waiting on my damn food truck. You get famous, and I'll cook your meals. We'll go around, and I'll even make me a little bed there in my little food truck. And, yeah.
Now, we'll just get you a step in RV for that.
Well, that's true.
See, when I see Steven can drive the RV, you can drive the food truck to set. That way you guys got a house and you get your cooking place. And then,
God.
I'm always thinking, thinking outside the box.
Thought of it all.
we wouldn't have to pay rent no more, nothing. We just put everything in a storage unit and just stay on the road.
Oh, that's my dream. Let me tell you something about cooking Kentucky. My whole dream, since I work on the road anyway, my dream is to live in an RV full time. People that know me know I have a slight obsession with RVs and that in tactical bags. I have probably 12 tactical bags that all have a purpose, but it's stupid.
Well,
anyway.
What's wrong with that?
Exactly. I mean, everything's organized. My whole car looks like a freaking Humvee, for God's sake. You get in there and there's like weapons everywhere. No, anyway, I'm just kidding. But no, my dream is to live in an RV.
Yeah.
I tried this camping shit again, guys. I'm gonna tell you something right now. All right, I am not a camping person anymore. I want to be in a tent. I don't want to be. I want comfort. I'm a bougie bitch right now. I need a little kitchen. Don't need much because I have perfected the art. And this is something that everybody should really think about. I have perfected the art of one pan cooking. I can do an entire meal in one pan, and I'm talking like nutritious, healthy stuff. All right.
I did it tonight.
Oh, my kid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's what a lot of people don't realize is that there's so much, you don't need like 12 pans to do a wonderful gourmet meal. fresh herbs and, you know, just salt and pepper. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just put this up there real quick. Throw away that goddamn garlic salt and that stupid seasoning salt, okay? Stop it. Stop
all the seasoning salt.
Get rid of that.
Dear. No, even better than that is cream of mushroom soup.
You don't like it?
People throw it in everything, Sean. Instead of using, like, cream, you know, real heavy cream and actual mushrooms.
Yeah.
Or, so let's just dump a can of this glob right in there. And, you know, I guess it's okay if you're making, like, a hash brown casserole for breakfast or whatever. You know, whatever. But, you know, if you're going to make a good meal, an evening meal or whatever, skip the damn cream of mushroom soup for Pete's sake. Use mushrooms. You know, use the heavy cream. I mean, I've always got heavy cream, you know, in the fridge. Steve knows that because I make all kinds
of
cream sauces. Yes.
Yep. Well,
for different things. Yeah.
What time do I come over? Because that's my kind of cooking right there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not
going
to lie to you. You know, I haven't done anything with mushrooms in a while. That gives me an idea of what I might do tomorrow. I'm just going to probably hit the road tomorrow at some point. Grab my dog, grab my my gear, and grab my cameras, and just, I don't know. Funny thing, too, is that I like to put this out there as well. I'm a Dollar General junkie because you can find almost whatever you need to cook at Dollar General.
Yep.
Now, not Dollar Tree, Dollar General. Somebody says, I go to Dollar General, and not everything's a dollar there. I'm like, because it's not a Dollar Tree, you dope.
Well, not everything's a Dollar Tree either. It's a $1.25 now.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like a $1.25 tree.
That's not as catchy as Dollar Tree, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But no, that's just what I want to bring in again. Like I keep going back to this. I just want to bring in a TV show that where somebody is cooking, because one of my favorite things to watch on YouTube are these bushcraft shows, these guys that go out and build, like, these elaborate shelters and, you know, kill a mountain lion and, like, cook them up later. No, they don't ever do that, but I'm just, you know, using an example. But
yeah.
And there's so many great things that I've learned from YouTube and things that I can do and gear that I have actually gotten because of watching these channels. You know, Kent Survival is one of them. He's one of my favorites. He's over there in British, and he does this – he makes some of the most elaborate shit on a fire. I'm like, I don't know how the hell you do it, but I'm learning. I'm going to keep pushing myself because I just love it. I did do an episode with one of my friends, Victoria. She is Visual Vixens Photography there. We did this one where I did these chicken thighs. We cooked on an open fire, and the marinade actually gave you a step-by-step instruction of the marinade. It was basically brown sugar, ketchup, soy sauce, white wine, ginger, and there was something else I can't recall right now. But anyway, you marinate the chicken thighs in that, cook it on that open fire, and oh my God, it was good. Oh,
yeah, good.
That sounds good.
And
that sounds
open
really
flame
good.
Meal, it does taste a lot different than if you're cooking in a house. Open flame adds a whole different flavor profile.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the beautiful things, just in general. You know, even my outside cooking with stoves and stuff, there's just, I don't know, there's something about how it tastes. I got to edit an episode tonight. I was just redoing my intro credits because I finally got the Cooking Kentucky logo, which is so freaking awesome. So I
got
to put some videos together for that.
You got it. Oh, cool. I can't wait to see that. Yeah, I heard that was on the way.
Well, Jennifer Noren, like I said, she is just she's amazing, for one. So you just can't be mad around her.
No,
I've tried.
True.
She's like the opposite of a succubus. But she's a throwaway negative energy abyss.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she can always put a smile on your face, that's for sure.
She can. Mm-hmm. She can. Wonderful person. So
when are you gonna debut that? When's it gonna be unveiled? your new logo. I really want to see that. that's going to be cool.
Well, I do have it on my Instagram and everything. I have everything up, but the new credits.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I have new credits. I do have a video that I have to edit from this past weekend when I went to. We went to this really cool little spot in Ohio, and they had Airstream RVs on the property and kind of like these little camps set up around. It was really beautiful. I got some cool video of it. And then we went to a spring, and my dog rolled in shit, so I had to throw her in the river and wash her.
It's like, why? And she's so smart.
She's incredibly smart, which makes me mad when she acts dumb. I'm like, you're better than this. Quit.
Well, it's her primal nature. They love to wallow in nasty things, whether it's dead animal carcasses or shit or whatever. They'll roll in it.
Well, good thing I don't do that because everybody just called me an alcoholic.
Well, that...
Yeah, you can make videos without your pants. I mean, you know.
I know. I just can't get away with anything anymore. I swear, I just need to get on Instagram and a thong and stick my butt up in there, and all of a sudden I can call myself a model.
Oh, that
there you go.
Piss some people off.
There we go. I'm gonna get some hate mail over that shit. But
well, your logo is really cool. I just pulled it up. That is awesome, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Isn't it awesome?
She worked a little bit of the state of Kentucky outline, and it's got the frying pan is nice touch. And it's really cool.
I'm a big cast iron guy, so that was kind of a
– yeah.
We were discussing the logo, and I'm like, yeah, we got to put a cast iron pan in there. She handed – like literally 2 minutes later, she was like, you mean like this? I'm like, damn, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she goes, wait a second. I have to move the pan. I don't like where this pan is, so I'm going to move it over just a little bit. Like 30 seconds later, here, it's done. Damn, you're good.
You're like,
you're fast.
That's it.
Well, you know, she's a – I have to – so the red and black is kind of a – it's a color scheme for Ville TV Network, you know, which has been the TV network I've had for years.
Yeah.
And plus, it's kind of paying homage a little bit to the city of Louisville because it's been so wonderful to me over the years with the amount of, you know, people I've gotten to work with and the music scene, the movie scene, everything that I've done. I'm happy about that. So she wanted me to go with the blue. Obviously, UK, we know she's from Lexington. Mm-hmm. But I was like, yeah, I got to stick with the red, honey. Love you, but I got to stick with the red. So I don't even like sports ball, but that's just me. But yeah,
I wondered if it was Louisville, but the other part of me was wondering if that was like red for fire of cooking, because you're outdoor cooking. I almost thought that too. So
your explanation sounds better. I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
Red hot cooking.
That's what I thought.
That's right.
It's either that or Louisville, like a Louisville thing. It's one of the two. Yeah, that's what I saw the colors. But yeah, the logo looks great. Love it. We got pulled up here looking at it right now. Nice
Jennifer
work, Jennifer.
Is available. She's available for side work, guys. So she's not cheap. So if you're looking for something cheap, she ain't the one for you guys. But if you want it done right and if you're going to pay for what you get, then she's the one you need to go to. Simple as that.
Right.
And if you got a problem with that, you can fight me. No, I'm joking.
She's quite the professional.
Yeah, she's definitely worth what she asks for her work. Yeah, she'll turn a good job in like this right here. Nice
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Creative,
but that's
just do deserve to be paid, whether you're a filmmaker or writer or a painter or a graphic designer or a game designer. You know, your time is worth money, you know. I know everybody wants everything for free. We all know this. Everybody wants everything for free. But it takes a lot to make music, to make art, to make movies, to make books. You know, people don't take that in consideration. But creatives are worth their money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I always used to say when I was playing music and we would get a gig offer or something to go somewhere, and they're like, you know, what's the pay? oh, well, you know, you'll get exposure, man. You know, you'll get all these people. They'll see you. I'm like, awesome. I'm going to call my landlord and see if I can pay an exposure. Let's see if I can do that. I'm going to call LG&E and say, hey, listen. Hey, I can't pay my electric this month, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you all over the place on social media. So that's plenty of exposure.
Give you some exposure.
Yeah. Let's see how that works for you. But there's a difference between, like, here's where we run into, like, a very kind of touchy subject. It's like, it's one thing to do favors, but it's another thing to take advantage of the people who have put you in the position that you are to make, not saying from personal experience or anything, but I'm saying from personal experience. When there are people that, you know, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing if it wasn't for the people that put you where you are and you have no respect for that, well, then that's when, you know, it's kind of like, all right, well, you know, here's the thing is if you need something from me, go somewhere else. I ain't doing it anymore. And that's kind of where I am now. And I'm sorry to be a jerk about it, but I have done so much for so many people and gotten screwed over so many damn times. Yep. Done. You want me? Here's my cost.
Yep.
Here's what
we
it costs,
it.
Baby.
Yep.
Yeah,
I
we
just
get
had
it.
A wonderful call the other day that wants me to provide. They got a movie coming to town. I can't talk too much about it. However, some pretty big names, and they're going to need some police cars, police uniforms, and they're going to need an armorer. So I am. I have. These are my services. I sent them my one sheet. I said, here's what it is. They're like, okay, seems a little cheaper than what we were expecting. I'm like, well, I can raise my prices.
No complaints. I take tips.
No complaints. Sure.
Them, you know, I have to. I take tips.
Exactly. But I work with two pretty awesome police officers locally here. We're all armorers. And no, we're not licensed because, quite frankly, and I'm going to say this, and people are going to disagree with me, and I cannot wait to hear any backlash from this statement. But let me tell you something right now. Half of these people that are licensed armorers took a stupid class online in Atlanta and all of a sudden considered themselves to be an armorer. Guys, you're fake. I have had more weapons training than probably three-quarters of those armorers down there. And if you don't want an Alec Baldwin incident, well, then you call Sean. No, I may not be licensed, but Kentucky's not requiring it right now. And a license to me is useless. It is completely useless in this industry.
Well, yeah,
because
a license useless when you compare it to skill. You know, you have the experience. I mean, you know, I could get a license, and hell, I don't know the first thing. And I wouldn't trust myself to be teaching tactical anything or weaponry or, you know, but I could go get a license. That don't mean I should be doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's all I'm saying. And I'm not really trying to put anybody down, honestly, but I've been put down because I don't have a license. And I'm like, bro, test me.
Mm-hmm. You've got experience.
I guarantee you. Because I work with a lot of this without revealing too much. I work with people that work in an industry where they do that type of tactical stuff. And so I am still being taught every day. I'm still being taught. I go to classes. I meet up with my buddies, and they teach me latest weapons tactics and latest tactical movements and what's being used by police. The two police officers that I work with, I mean, they've trained me extensively on how to do takedowns, how to do approaching cars, you know, stuff like that, just basic legitimate police things. So when you hire my company, CMS TAC, you hire a lot of training. You're not hiring like the best professionals. You're hiring a lot of training. Okay?
Training.
And we work with people. Yeah. We work with safety. Exactly. And that's all I'm saying. You know, I've had a couple people throw me under the bus here locally and got me out of a couple of shoots. But there was one shoot in particular that involved a particular awesome actor. I can't talk about it right now, guys. I wish I could, but I got to meet him, and I totally fanboyed out, almost passed out, started crying like a little Chinese girl at a Michael Jackson concert. But they called me because they couldn't get what they needed, and within literally 3 days, I got them two fire trucks, an ambulance, three police cars. Just saying, guys, that's what I do. I'm not trying to brag and say I'm better than anybody. No, but I've worked very hard in this industry to get the relationships that I've developed. And these are things that I have 12 police cars at my disposal right now. So anybody needs a freaking police car for a movie, I can get it. You want the Dodge Charger, you want the Fords, you want the Ford Explorers, I got them all, baby. You just let me know, and I can get them.
Yep.
So
there you go,
true.
Filmmaker. There you go. You need weaponry. You need tactical equipment. Well, fire trucks, police cars, all that good stuff. There you go. Do you got ambulances? You probably got ambulances too, or could get one.
I can get them. I don't have one in my arsenal yet, but I'm still working on that. So. But you
That's
know, I also work. I work with a lot of great people as well. You know, David Waite has been a David Waite has learned a lot as an armorer as well. He's another armorer that I would trust. And like I said, my two police officers, I'm not gonna mention them publicly. If they want to, you know, come up like in the chat room or some shit, they can identify themselves. But these guys, they work for agencies locally, and you know, they like to act too. So. You know, if you need a legitimate-looking police officer, I got those guys, too.
Yeah, no doubt. And, great. Yeah, definitely want to give a shout-out to David. Yeah, he's a extremely talented individual and definitely one of your circle, for sure. So, yeah, great guy.
Yeah, he's
great guy.
He's great. He's. I've known him. We used to be partners when we worked on the ambulance together, so.
So
we were both EMTs.
Really?
Yeah,
I did not know
that's
that. That's no way. That's awesome. Yeah,
yeah,
I did not know that part of the story.
2003, yeah. I started at Yellow Ambulance, and I think he started around 2004, something like that. We ended up being partners and ended up being great friends. He's one of my oldest friends here. So, and we've been through it all. I actually got him into the film industry. I called him up and was like, hey, man, you want to be an extra in a John Voight film, which was J.L. Ranch, which was filmed in LaGrange. A bunch of great people were involved with that. I mean, you guys know Silvio and David was in it, a bunch of other local actors and some scumbags, but I'm not going to call them out. But and scene. Anyway, it was then he kind of got bit in the ass by it. So then we started doing films, obviously, with, Herschel and many other people, just doing tons of films. And this is what I go back to the favor thing. This is like, we just want to create something, and so we're going to do it, you know. I understand artists need to be paid, but here's the deal. If you don't bring an A game, don't expect top-of-the-line pay.
Right.
And we see a lot of that in this industry. We see a lot of people that are, you know, they think that they're amazing. They think that they're the greatest director ever, and all of their films suck. And we know, we've seen them. We're not going to call them out, but we know who we're talking about.
We know who they are.
I could call out one particular company in Northern Kentucky, but I'm not going to do it. Because you know what? You made your own bed. Karma's going to get you. That's the thing. You got to do right, ladies and gentlemen. Karma will come back. Yeah. I have been the recipient of karma. Believe me.
It does.
It
does eventually. Yeah. But there's a lot to what you're saying about the hype. Not delivering up to the hype. I see a lot of that.
And that happens a lot of places. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm not a script writer. I've written two scripts, but the only reason they were even legible and usable was because of my good buddy J.C. Resitas. You know, he's an amazing filmmaker. He's a great writer as well. I highly recommend. He has one of the most highest performing documentaries on Amazon right now for Shamim Media Group. So, you know. Hats off to him because he helped me out with Defetrog, which was a series I was wanting to feature at Imaginarium, but I don't know how. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, the two last scripts that I got, the last one, unfortunately, is not going to come out, although I arranged all this stuff and had thousands of dollars of gear and people and stuff on this property, and it's not going to be not going to be released because of the director, and I'm not going to mention his name, but...
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I put a lot of work into this, and it was a good script. I was proud of it. I might just submit the damn script and be like, hey, read this. If I'm proud of it.
There you go. We do have a screenwriting.
Yeah, you can do that. Yep. Side. Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, there wouldn't be a problem with that. But, yeah. Geez. Yeah, because, I mean, it makes my heart ache because I've seen that happen to multiple people where, yeah, that definitely run into that kind of scenario. That's tough. But,
well, I have a pretty good track record. I've never produced anything that didn't get done. And this is like one of two projects out of the many that I've done that did not get completed. And that's an embarrassment. But like I said, it was the director's fault at that point. It wasn't like Herschel. It wasn't him. Okay. He didn't do this. I just want to make that very clear right now.
Right.
And that's just somebody that, again, this is where the favor thing comes in. It's like, hey, I did this for you and you didn't do this for me. Awesome. This is a one-sided relationship here. Gotcha. And that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Yeah.
You live, you learn in this business. That's what it says.
Yes,
it's okay for creatives. You know, like, yeah, we it does take a village, but boy, it's a trail of tears to find your core people and your village, because there is a lot of backstabbing and there's a lot of, like you said, one-sided to where, like, you know, it should be you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. And that's how it should be. We should be lifting each other up and helping each other out, you know, shooting each other in the foot.
But Holly, you know this, Stephen, you know this as well as I do, man. This is not an industry of generosity. Unfortunately, it just isn't. And it's the entertainment business. Now, I'm not knocking the entertainment business. I've been in entertainment most of my life. But it's a cutthroat industry. This is, hey, what can I get from you? And then once they get it, well, then guess we don't need this person anymore. Awesome, dude.
Right.
So glad that you're working in an industry that I pretty much introduced you to everybody. But that's no here nor there. And again, if anyone's listening and you think I'm talking about you, well, then you might want to rethink your own life there.
Yeah.
That's what I always said. If you think I'm talking about you, then you may be a problem, you know. I may not be talking about you, but if you think I am, then you may have a problem. Mm-hmm. You need to rethink.
got a little bit of guilt hanging on your shoulder there, big guy. All right.
Yeah.
But that is what it is. I mean, again, I have been, as in the Army, you know, in the industry I work now, I work in a hospital and I work with surgeons. And, you know, sometimes I go into a hospital and somebody will say, oh, this surgeon, he is, he's mean. You know, he'll yell at you and stuff like this. I'm like, baby, let me tell you something. I got 6 years in the Army. He's a freaking choir boy. Good luck. Like, I just get irritated about stuff like that, you know? Go ahead. Try to flex with me. It's cool. You can flex all you want. I had a director threaten to beat my ass on a freaking set one time. I went, come on, fat boy, let's do this. Ain't nothing between you and an opportunity.
Like, okay. Let's go.
Oh, my God.
Let's go. I don't care if you're a man. I'll beat your ass.
I was looking at him and said, what are you going to do, drink Diet Coke and smoke cigarettes and breathe on me? Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, the egos and attitudes never cease to amaze me sometimes. You know, it's not surprised you're in with some of that. Yeah.
Well, I've been accused of having, they said, your ego's too big. I went, is it really? Are you sure about that? Because everything I do is for the betterment of everybody around here. Everything you do is for the benefit of you. So who's really got the ego, guys?
Right.
Yeah.
You're able to laugh things off. And you are, that's where we differ, is you're a little bit more diplomatic than I. I just get pissed. and I'm not very diplomatic at all. You know me.
I do. Yeah. You're talking like that right now actually scares me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. But,
everybody knows me. I have a little temper, and I'm not diplomatic.
Well, there comes a time where you have to protect yourself, or you have to protect the movie industry, for instance. You have to protect the project. So sometimes we all have to swallow our things, but that's normally why I'm there, is because, Holly, when you get pissed and you want to scream at somebody and yell at somebody, what do? We walk over to the side, we have a little conversation, you yell at me for a minute, and then you're over it, right?
That's it.
That's happened. Yeah.
That's it.
And we've worked on the project, and that's happened. And that's
I watched it.
And that's what it is.
I observed. Sean's very good at this.
You know, one thing.
It takes a special person that calm me down. Because, boy, once I'm mad, I'm mad. You know?
Wonder Twin powers activate.
It is. It's Wonder Twins. It's uncanny.
You know, and I talk about this all the time. The one thing I can always say, one of the most probably complimentary things I can say about Herschel is his willingness to basically talk it out like adults, like men, if you will. Sorry for being gender specific to all you sensitives out there, but get over it. We had a disagreement on the set of The First Frog one time, and he just looked at me and said, "I need to talk to you." And we walked off set. We duked it out a little bit. We talked. We said our piece and everything. Then we were done. We went right back to work. You can't do this shit in front of your cast and crew, which is what happened on this one set where the director threatened to beat my ass, because he brought out all the dirty laundry in front of everybody. It's like, no, adults walk away and we have a conversation, but instead you're trying to man up and you think you're going to actually do something. And that's unprofessional. And then it is what it is. I mean, but Herschel was always very, you know, he was like, "Hey," and he would. He would get on me about shit. I would do something stupid. He would look at me, He said, "I need to talk to you." And it was a little finger coming up out of the air and pointing at me. "I need to talk to you." All right. I go over and get my ass chewed a little bit by the director.
Are you still doing the 12 for 12?
How can I put this diplomatically?
Got put on
that
shelf.
I don't know actually what happened to that. We did like five projects, and all of a sudden everybody. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to say anything about it. Let me just put it to you this way: we unfortunately had to get that rid of shelf at for now.
Okay,
and that's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I was wondering about it because I hadn't seen anything, and I knew you were trying to do like one a month, and I know you were like. Starting out the gate, you guys were like, bam, 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 bam. And then, you know, I've seen that you kind of went, you know, and did your thing going and different stuff. And so I didn't know.
Well, we stopped last year at around probably June of last year. We also moved out of the studio that we were in. That was a big fiasco. And then so basically everybody kind of went their own, did their own thing. A couple people went to some place, and I don't really know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to not.
Just
that's
been
all right.
Shelved
I'm trying
for
not
now.
To reveal.
Just been shelved
you know what I mean.
For right now. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, you certainly haven't been slacking. I mean, you've got several episodes completed here for the cooking show.
Yeah,
you've been busy.
I hate editing. I really do.
Well, you know,
editing.
Sometimes it's good, though, when you're forced to do it, because you do learn, you know, you learn from doing, right? You know,
that is true.
But, you know, you learn from doing. So,
so you are doing posts then on Kentucky Cooking as well right now.
Oh, 100%. It's all me. I'm a one-man operation on this.
Wow.
That's impressive.
And I think a lot of the 12 Films project is a lot of the directors and filmmakers, they got busy doing their day job stuff, which is a lot of them do film work for. You know, Herschel travels a lot. Tommy Baker and them, they're very busy. I'm not even going to mention two other people because they can both kiss my ass. But everybody kind of got busy doing paid gigs, so to speak, is what they like to call it.
Right.
Right.
Which I understand. I mean, I'm not downing them for that. I'm not saying you guys are jerks. No, it's I get it, but
right.
You know, I'm still waiting on Peter Berg to call me back too, because I have a feeling I could do a lot for Peter Berg. One of my favorite directors mm-hmm. of all time. Sorry. yeah,
cool.
So that's just kind of where that's gone. And that's fine. You know, like I said, Tommy Baker, Half Brothers Media, those guys are constantly working and some good stuff. We did, they were like the last film that we did, and I'm still waiting on that, starring Frank Whitaker and a few other great actors in that as well. And it was a neat, neat story. Kind of a post-apocalyptic type deal. And still waiting on that to come out. I don't know what the hell happened to it. But you can go check out Sins of a Father, directed by Clayton Luce. The other one, which was Moon Cheese, which was the one that Herschel, basically a story from his past acting gig. And it's quite funny because mm-hmm. David Waite plays the part of kind of Herschel.
Oh, that's great. Awesome.
It's a neat little, it's a really cool little little shindig that we did at the old studio, and it turned out really good. But, you know, the other thing, too, is that you can go on Amazon right now and just look up Herschel Zahn. He's got, like, three projects on there that you can purchase and watch.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure there's several more because a lot have gone in. But, again, I believe, I don't know if I can talk about this, there's some documentary that he got, like, a good award on. Oh, God, what did he say? I'm sorry, I don't know what Herschel, I don't know what the project is called, but it's out, and
yeah,
he's doing other work and stuff, so.
Superb. Wow. All right. Yeah, he's running marathons, too, evidently. Saw that post. Yeah, I guess he's out there running. Yeah.
You know, about 3 years ago, he took a drastic turn for his health.
Right.
And I'm not saying his health went bad. I'm saying, like, he took a turn for the betterment of his health. So he started working out, and he wanted to run marathons. So he's always running, and he's trying to, you know, just – it's been a goal of his just to run a marathon. And he did it. And
I saw that.
I mean, he's done the mud run and stuff like that as well. So
yeah. Yeah, that's too cool.
He's lost a lot of weight since I've known him and toned up real good. So,
yeah, he
I should take that. Screw that.
He had a video that made it in today's announcements. It was Purified by Suffering. It's a Poetry of the Dead music video that he did that made it today.
I helped produce that as well.
Yeah. That was an official selection today.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Today,
listen,
so, yeah.
It's actually a great, great freaking video.
Yeah.
So,
we
have done probably, I personally have done three or four of Jason William Allen's videos. I've helped produce those.
Nice.
They are cool.
And so we always come up with some creative shit, and it's great. It really is. Jason's a good buddy.
Yeah.
Man. I love Jason to death.
Oh, yeah. We
do super.
Too. Yeah, we do too.
Yeah, you'll be glad to know that he's collaborated with Holly's son, Noah. Noah's a poetry writer, and Jason, of course, is an artist. But they have a book that they combined on that's going to be out by midsummer by Imaginarium. So they have Jason has the illustrations and Noah did the poems.
Right.
So yeah, it's coming out. That's going to be really cool too.
That sounds
awesome. Yeah. We have some of Jason's artwork on the walls here, as a matter of fact. So,
And then he made me a dead mermaid. I've got a dead mermaid on one of my coffee tables in the living room.
That's a conversation starter. That gets the conversation going. Yeah, and the guests come. Yeah.
People are like, what in the world? I'm like, that's my dead mermaid. My friend Jay made me.
So Bill TV is going to be at Imaginarium. So I do want to give you a chance before the show runs out here. What is going on on the Bill TV front since you guys are going to be there?
Well, right now, Bill TV, I'm going to bring out, obviously, some prop weapons. You know, give people an opportunity to kind of look at prop weapons. I'll be giving demonstrations at my booth you know, kind of like proper safety and stuff like that. We had a really good turnout last year at Imaginarium for the safety course and everything. And so, you know, I basically just trying to, this is going to be focused more around the Creative Motion Studios and CMS Tech. Ville TV Network is obviously still a TV network, and there's talks right now that Ville TV Network is going to go on the Renegade Network and have its own channel, and we're going to be featuring local bands, videos, and stuff like that. So pretty much anybody can submit, and it's going to be in 24/7 rotation, like NTV in the
past. Nice. Okay.
And like, the other thing,
yeah, when NTV actually had music video. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ages ago. Yeah.
And I want to bring the shows back to where they were, you know, like probably once or twice or maybe three times a week, we'll play, you know, short films, short movies, we'll play full length films, like, you know, Friday night, you know, Bill TV Spotlight, blah, blah, blah. We're going to play the Vets Rock, you know, we're going to play the one, the pilot of that, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm just using that as an example, which it's probably going to happen because it's one of my creations, so obviously I'm going to put it on my damn network. But it's all about
absolutely.
And the thing with Renegade Network is that they have some built-in sponsors, and Renegade Network right now is available on most smart TV platforms and any type of Android or Apple device as well. So basically, you can click on this. It's like watching live TV if you want. So.
Cool.
Still working on getting
awesome.
The finalization of all that good stuff. But, yeah, so I want to be there at Imaginarium, kind of getting interest in that, and Ville TV Network as a television network, and then also the CMS, Creative Motion Studios and CMS Tech side of things. So, like I said, probably have a couple of dummies there in full police uniforms and, you know, just some fun shit.
Neat.
Very cool.
Just fun shit.
Yeah, that is going
to be
fun.
And plus, I'll be there, like, you know, I'm going to be a Jedi the whole time I'm there.
Nice.
Why not?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of good cosplay going on. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Oh, Jennifer
and I have
will be
to try that
the entire time.
Oh, Jennifer will be, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she'll be.
Well, I got to try and outdo her, so I'm going to see what I can come up with. I doubt I can because she's so wonderful at it, and I'm just kind of a...
Well, we mentioned that Sean Burton Saunders on YouTube is your channel. Your name spelled out, no spaces. And but yes, give us. We got a couple minutes left, so I want to make sure you give out all the good stuff. Platform handles, websites.
Sure.
For everybody.
Sean Burton Saunders is pretty much it's my Instagram. Facebook right now, Ville TV Live is the Twitter. I don't do much on Twitter. I should get back to Twitter since it's actually been, you know, taken over by somebody that has a brain. did I say that? I just went political. Oh my God. You can also check us out, cmslew.com. That gives you all the kind of 12 films projects that we've done. It gives you all the distribution. It gives you CMS tax and everything. Our one sheets are on there. My email is pretty much all over the place. If you go on my Instagram and TikTok, Sean Burton Saunders. You can see my link tree, which basically gives you all the links to all of my social media and websites and everything. But I got so much, I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. There's like literally 8 or 9 different links that you can click on and check out just crap that I've done. So Network on YouTube. I said Ville TV Network on YouTube. That has all of our original creative stuff, but also has some of our old Ville TV Live episodes and stuff like that. You can check all that out. There's just so much. That's why I put the link tree out, because I'm like, there's too many damn things to list.
Yeah, I agree.
Go to my Instagram.
You've got a lot.
Go to my Instagram and find out.
Yeah, you've got a lot. Well,
it's too much.
Sean, well, you need to come visit us soon and have us have Holly whip up one of her fancy dinners for you. But thanks for joining the show tonight, man. It's been a great visit. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the shit out of you guys. You know that. I love you to death. And if there's anything I can do, hey, let me know. I'm gonna
you
go
got
here.
It. We look forward to spotlighting you in a big way this July. And, I'll turn it over to you and Holly to close her out. But thank you again. And definitely, definitely. Cooking Kentucky is going to be a big success. It's going to be a big success.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to this. I got a feeling about this one. It's hitting at the right time and the right theme. Yeah.
Yeah,
I hope so. I'm so sick of trying to find shit that works.
All right, Holly. You got it.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure as always, Mr. Sean. And
thank you, Holly. Love you.
Yes. I love you too, darling. And yeah, you can come wash my hair anytime you want and brush it up. Anytime. I'm always here. You know where I live. So
challenge accepted.
And I'll cook you a meal. There you go.
Even better. Even better. You know I love to eat. You know I ain't got no problem eating. I love that. I'll buy the wine.
And the bourbon. And the bourbon.
And the bourbon, and the bourbon. Exactly.
Yeah, let's not forget that.
All right, guys. I appreciate
well,
it, man.
Out there, you check Sean Burton Saunders' workout. Go to his link tree. Check him out on TikTok and get all those links. And, yeah, check out some of the things he's doing and has done. But the Cooked Kentucky, that's going to be amazing. I do have a really good feeling about it, just as Stephen does. So, crossing my fingers.
Like me too.
Yes, yes, definitely. But, yeah, thank you for joining us tonight. And people
Thanks
out there, check us out. Well, of course, anytime. Don't be a stranger. But
no way.
He's like herpes, just can't get rid of him, see? That's
what
it is.
Right. And I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere you don't want me to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Easy to find. Easy to find.
Yeah, so I'm going to go live on TikTok
out
here after this. Talk about how
there
you
go.
All are.
All right.
Yeah.
Take care, man.
Very talented
right,
individual.
Guys.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon. And people out there, join us next Wednesday night. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and spend the rest of the week being creative, and happy Mother's Day to all the human mothers and the fur baby mothers out there, and we will catch you then. Good night.
I'll be just-